Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing. Pulling up swing tech show.
Oh my goodness, welcome to tonight's edition of the Linux Link Tech Show. Had a little problems there for a couple of minutes. Seems that we were broadcasting absolutely nothing, and that was immediately preceded by the power going out here. So just hang in there while we get things situated. We'll be right back to bring you a wonderful show. Something, maybe. We'll see.
Probably.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also, catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there. Hey there, this is Link at the Linux Link Tech Show. How you doing tonight? This is the Wednesday, July 7th edition at, of course, 9 p.m. Eastern. Every week, come visit us. We have a lot of stuff for you tonight. I'm sure we all have wonderful stories about, you know, the kinds of cool things that we did over the 4th of July holiday here in the United States. If you're actually not a resident of the United States, that's what we just did. But first, some really important things. Number one, there's Dan. And that's what I was going to do anyway. I was going to introduce everybody. That was Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hey.
And we also have Alan over here.
Yeah, what's up?
Our two co-hosts. Actually, we are three co-hosts. Myself, Dan, and Alan, who have been here for almost every episode. And we have this is sort of a special commemorative episode tonight because why? You guys know? Anybody know?
It's our 140th episode.
Close. This is episode number 40.
Is it 40 already?
40. We have done. Man. This is the 40th one we've done, which is really a testament.
We throw the year party.
Yeah, right. It's our testament of our ability to bullcrap.
To talk mindlessly for an hour on end.
Exactly. Three guys talking about nothing for an hour, pretty much. I mean, you know, early on in the shows, we read the news for a long time.
It can be more than an hour if you wouldn't hustle us out.
If I wouldn't cut you right off after the hour. Well, you know, we got to make them small enough that people can. You were already complaining that the second episode you couldn't even fit on CD-ROM.
Having mic
remember?
Problems tonight, there, Dan.
Dan's still having mic problems.
He's have to like bring the duct tape thing out of the car, I think.
Yeah,
that would work. We could duct tape his mic stand down to the corner. Then we'd be all set. Then.
Onto the wrestling table.
Yep. Onto the wrestling table.
Duct tape it to my chin.
Which is it's approximately. We got like 3-4 inches there now on the corner of the wrestling table that is coming apart.
Actually, the corner is getting farther down, actually, it looks.
Right, it's because so is the middle.
I was laying on it the other day.
How could you possibly lay on a stand?
If you lay on it just right, it'd be like one of those like adjustable beds.
Craftmatic adjustable table.
It's not going back down.
It's not going back down, though.
Now, I know you're excited about getting on some of your topics, but I had a really interesting adventure at Wawa. Not
a Wawa adventure.
20 minutes ago.
He went into Wawa and found the hoagie guy standing in the corner, shaving himself.
He may be a hoagie. No, it was seriously. Well, first off, on the way to hoagie.
On the way to see hoagie guy.
On the way to Wawa. I was about a block away. This woman starts walking out in the middle of the street. Then she turns around, starts to walk back, while her daughter or neighbor or friend or sister or whatever decides to walk out into the street to meet her to have a discussion in the middle of the street in traffic. Anyway, that's not what I was talking about. So I get into Wawa.
Then you stepped on the gas.
Yes, and I gave her a dirty look. And then I had some gas. But we all heard that already.
Arr.
I went into Wawa, I got my soda, and I was walking up in the line, and there's this guy at the register and this other guy standing there. The guy's going off about how a DLL got deleted from his Windows XP machine and hosed his machine and couldn't log back into it. It was totally useless. It wouldn't boot anymore. He was going off about it. Now, I had spoken to this guy a few weeks ago.
And, of course, you walked in where your
Linux
Linux
had seen my,
shirt,
he had
right?
seen my Linux shirt, and he said, oh, you're a Linux guy. I said, yep. He goes, I like Linux. He's going on. He's a computer guy he's an older guy. He's been working with computers for years. And we got talking. I told him to check us out. Well, anyway, when it came my turn to pay and he was still talking.
His microphone's still falling over.
I said, I walked up and I said, yeah, you know, that's what you get for one running crap. And he's like, yeah, but you know, what are you going to do? And then I said to him, did you check us out yet? And he looked at my shirt. He goes, oh, it's you. And he goes, yeah, that's why he's busting my balls or whatever. And he started talking to the other guy over there. And he goes, yeah, this guy's a Linux guy. And the guy, whose name is Art, was saying, yeah. He's like, what distribution do you run? And I'm like, I'm a Slack man. And he goes, I like Red Hat.
Poor guy.
He said, I never tried Slackware. And then we got to talk a little bit about Slackware. And I was going to tell him I run Gen 2 also, but I didn't get the opportunity because we were running short there. So I told him to check it out. And check us out, and hopefully they'll show up at a meeting or join our group or something, two people. Well, anyway.
Awesome.
To get back to this Windows guy, this problem, his daughter had apparently was on the machine and somehow deleted this DLL, which got me to thinking on the way back. Another, you know, this is a piece of, wow, what's that up there at the top of the screen, Alan?
You got a bunch of interesting Bonk. Pictures this evening on the screen.
Dan's got his web screensaver running again, collecting images for his later enjoyment.
Anyway, so
his standing orders are just, Alan, hit the print screen button every now and then, man. You know,
now, it's sickening that just a general user could go in and delete a DLL like that. And we can chalk it up as an XP machine not being set up properly, that I was just logging in with administrative rights. All right? Now, I was thinking about this. You could do that on a Linux machine, right? Always log in as root. And
right.
You could delete, but typically you don't have that happen. But then I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Let's look at the other major desktop operating system, OS X, Mac OS X.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there thinking about it, and you can log in as an admin user, or you can give your user admin rights. And what is interesting is if you try and install any software, or if you try and delete files in a protected area, it asks you for your password first before it lets you do that.
Good idea.
That's a damn good idea. Why doesn't Windows do that?
Because they don't care.
They don't.
Their whole, I keep saying their whole ideal, their whole idea there is to get you to wreck your operating system and your applications on your computer so that you're consistently looking for the magical upgrade. And then they can sell you the upgrade, you know, and they can keep releasing new products going, you know, this one's way, way better and doesn't have anywhere near the amount of problems as the last one does. So, you know, they keep making money hand over fist that way. It's just a marketing ploy. You know?
Yeah, but they're not really releasing that many new products. Isn't that one of their complaints?
Well, they release the next big, Big Bang product, and then they do their updates and their patches
years,
and stuff like
four
that.
4 years
right.
of updates.
Right. 40 years of updates.
Plus, you know, how many places that do, like, antivirus programs and stuff like that does Microsoft control? And in between releases of major operating system revisions, they also do releases of their Office products and stuff like that, too. So
they keep you buying. Every 3 years, yeah, they buy new machines.
They keep raking money in. Oh, yeah, man. And, I mean, you know, how come you could run Windows 95 on, like, a 386 and Windows XP you have to run on a 2.4 gigahertz machine, and then it's slower than hell, you know?
I just got a new PC card for my Unix box at work. Mm-hmm. After waiting for 3 months for this thing to show up. It's only like a 700 megahertz card on it, but it's running XP on it is slow as a freaking dog. I might as well just go back to like pen and paper.
There you go.
I had to turn off all of the XP doohickeys, you know, window decorations and stuff. Just to be able to pull up the file manager properly, I had to go back to like the classic view. Otherwise,
yeah, but
it's
if you're running,
for it to just redraw on the screen.
You're running on a Solaris box, right?
It's running off a Solaris box, but it's a PCI card.
Why are you even running Windows on it then?
Because unfortunately, I needed to get to my mail and stuff at work. We're predominantly a Windows shop. The 10 or 15 Unix boxes in the company are. Would rather, if it was
sounds
up to the
like
IT department, yeah. They'd actually be gone.
Sounds like you need to find the admin and slap him up with the Clowfish there.
Well, we have a Solaris admin, which is good. He's real good, but unfortunately, he's the only one.
Ah.
Which is proper, because it's the only one he really needs, but the Windows department there, I think they got about 10 or 15 people on it. But if it was up to them, there wouldn't be any Unix boxes in there. They'd all be locked down Windows
yeah.
boxes.
Smack him with the fish or clue.
Yeah, that would be fun. I got the countdown going. I need two programs installed that IT has to install on this machine.
Right.
I asked last Friday for them. They're simple ones that should take like a phone call and get it installed. They don't even have to come to your desk. They still haven't shown up for it.
Cool.
So I figure about another 3 weeks before they show up with it. And then they'll give me the wrong applications anyways.
So what have you been doing, Dan?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
Not a darn thing.
Didn't do anything over the 4th?
Nothing. No, that was a big fiasco.
No good Linux stories, huh?
Nothing. I didn't even get a chance to listen to the Doba CDs yet.
You didn't? Oh, you are missing out, buddy.
Yeah, with my dad going into for that procedure, really, mm-hmm. really wonked up the whole weekend. Sleep-wise, because we were out too late Thursday night, and then up early, and it was an all-day thing, and then we went to bed for a nap and woke up and had to go down and pick up the kids at the shore and come back, and the kids were up all night, and, you know, Sunday was a bust, sleeping and off and on between the wife and myself. So I didn't get to do much, except, Alan, isn't there a check over there, a blank check? Between the monitor,
really?
And no, the other side.
Alan digging feverishly.
Oh, yeah, no, not the Wonder Woman checks. Over there, on the side. Isn't there just one blank check?
Wonder Woman checks.
And let me see that check. Check out that check. That is from Free Check. Perfectly
this
usable
is from
check.
Free Check.
Perfect.
Hey, now
that's all my account information.
That's,
I don't know. I like the Wonder Woman one.
That's
myself,
pretty cool, man.
Shut up. You could put the Wonder Woman one on there too. You could put images in there if you want.
It's like pretty cool.
But, you know, you got to
just got the right numbers down at the bottom. The right, yeah, it looks pretty cool. Man.
That's for free. That's why it's called Free Check.
Free
for free. Sweet.
That go along with
is that like
check
it.
Paper or is that just regular paper?
It's
that's regular paper.
Paper. But
and in fact, I don't even.
It has
really,
the check stuff on the
really
back.
You don't really need that, do you? You don't have to print it on that kind of paper. No, I don't want it. You can put it back over
there. You can write
there.
A check. Well, I'm going to put it in my pocket, man.
There you go.
No, it's not signed. Dang.
That's okay. We can scribble Dan on it.
I was going to get my G5 tomorrow. Well, I did all kinds of crap over the 4th. I went to see my parents in upstate New York.
That was a long drive, wasn't it?
3.5 hours.
Is that it?
That's not too bad. That's it. Just 3.5 hours. I went down there, and I don't usually, like, go to fireworks or anything like that, but we went down, and my daughter wanted to see the fireworks. So we went and saw the fireworks at the local park. And we got right next to where they launched the fireworks. And they launched the fireworks directly over my head. I think I have, like, neck strain from watching the fireworks. And the cool thing was we were so close to the fireworks. They had me no more than 30 yards over our head when they were exploding. I got pelted with firework shrapnel.
Oh, cool.
I mean, we were close, you know what I mean? Sonic boom and the flash of light were at the same time kind of close. Really, really right underneath them. And that was really cool. I haven't had the pleasure of seeing a really good fireworks show like that since I left Columbus, Ohio. And theirs is really good, too. But around here, they're kind of lame, I think. But anyway.
Have to make sure you don't catch things on fire around
right,
here, that's
right.
why.
But we had, you know, it was a really good time. I went down there, and I learned a few things. If you read my blog, you know the few things that I learned. I learned things like... when you take low-fat
cheese, comment there was
when you take low-fat cheese and you melt it over something and you let it cool, it retains the consistency of like hard plastic. Doesn't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily taste bad. It still tastes sort of like cheese, but it's
really hard plastic.
Pretty much in between a frisbee and a tire patch, something like that. And my mom is one of those. People who's on like the diet kick and everything in our house is low fat. It's like no fat milk and low fat cheese and
yeah, yummy.
Oh yeah, it's great stuff, you know.
From the way you talked about your somewhere, was it the blog or the chat? No caffeine anywhere?
Right, no caffeine either. So I got a major, and you know I'm a computer geek. I live on caffeine. I got a major headache from I guess you know caffeine withdrawal or something like that. 2 days, like I'd been drinking coffee for 2 days before I found out that the coffee was, you know, non-caffeinated coffee.
And, I got her naked. Sorry.
What'd you do? What are you doing, compiling something?
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And by the time I realized it and then went to the fireworks, after the fireworks, my headache was just beating the hell out of me, and I had a really, really bad caffeine headache kind of thing. But that, you know, other things, like, you know, get the... What is it? One of the other good examples of low-fat products that really are terrible is that low-fat or no-fat bread. Have you guys ever seen that?
Yeah, it's like cardboard.
It's like if you leave it out for a couple of hours, it's like sandpaper. Like you could polish a diamond with that stuff, man. And that was one of the jokes I cracked to my daughter who stayed there for the week. She's going to help her grandpa sand and stain the deck. And I said, you know, why don't you just go grab a slice of bread, leave it on the counter until tomorrow, and then go to it, you know? You just scrub that stuff right up. It's pretty funny. For those of you who are on those no-fat diet things,
just eat less.
Get over
Isn't
it, man. You know?
Eat normal, but eat less.
Get over it. Just do something to exercise or... You know, you got to have food to live, and that is just not food. It's tasty paper products or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, what else was it? Oh, when I was there at my parents' house, my dad, and Dad, if you're listening, I love you to death, but you got to get rid of Windows. My dad has Windows on his computers there, and... I kept razzing him. I said, "How's your Windows doing?" "Oh, they work just fine. They do what I want them to do, and they work, and I don't have any problems with it." He must have told me like 4 times, I don't have any problems with it, right? Except for I was there, and I saw 4 errors pop up on his screen. I don't know what errors. I didn't even pay attention. They just popped up on the screen. Error this, error that, error the other thing. Obviously, there's problems, right? Okay. Because the whole time I was there, I had my Linux laptop running. I didn't have any errors at all.
But he had nothing but.
Ran right along, you know. And he had, it's an unfortunate thing. He had errors. But one of these days, he does have a couple of those insertable drives, removable drives, with a couple of different Linux distributions on it. But he has a little problem with the distributions because he has an NVIDIA card. And he just isn't. Not savvy enough to get the NVIDIA drivers working, I guess, and stuff like that. But, you know, it'd be good if there was a, you know, a Linux user group down there or something I could get him hooked up with, but there really isn't. Unfortunately. But I did enjoy, while I was there, using my laptop, which runs Slackware. No problems whatsoever. My only comment about using a laptop for 3 days is that, boy, it is nice when you get back home to your desktop.
Yeah, it's
you know what
size.
I mean? When you have a full-size keyboard and I don't have the little touchpad mouse thingy that drives me crazy and it just is, and plus I have a whole lot more screen real estate, you know, on my desktop computer than on my laptop. So that's cool. And then there are some other things, too, that I mentioned. You have to check them out on my blog.
I have to actually write something on my blog one of these days.
Yeah, that would be cool, too. People can, you know, even if you drop a note every now and then, says, you know,
I'm still alive.
Alan is alive, really. The reason I haven't written anything is because I have no life. You know, something like that.
Well, that's what would be the regular...
Making out with
that.
A wife tonight.
I have
tonight,
no life, sorry.
Something, you know?
Why are you still reading this? I have no life.
Should have gone away long ago. But yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I wanted to talk about my trip anyway. There's more stuff that I want to talk about goings on that have happened since. But I should save that until after the break so that we have something interesting to talk about after the break. Do you have anything to add?
Is it break time already?
Dan? It's 25 after.
Wow.
We could do break now, yeah.
Damn.
Dan's still typing away, compiling. What are you compiling now, Dan?
Nothing yet.
Are you sure?
Oh, you wait. This is a good one.
He's compiling hot.
You know he's doing something, because like it's tech show night, right? So he's got to be making something. It's
by the way, Patrick, we all love Hot Babe here, that app you put on the on the forum. We're all getting a kick out of that one.
That's what Dan's playing with. He's playing with Hot Babe, trying to make it look like Alan.
Don't even go there, man. That's just
bad. Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
What are we playing tonight?
What am I... Well, I did not take the liberty of actually getting any new music out tonight to play. So, I figured we would go back to a cool one from Derelict that we played earlier. A couple, 3-4 weeks ago, maybe? And I'm going to play The Fever by Derelict.
Fever.
The Fever. Check it out. See you in a minute, folks.
What I'm about to say might horrify you. We'll be right back.
I'm Matt from Lugger Radio in the UK.
Oh, that is so jolly.
Who was that?
CBBC presenter.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm interviewing Blue Trunks.
I was doing my impression.
Anyway, we're Lug Radio.
I was doing my impression of Dan there because, you know,
it looks like
he's jolly when he does his. No, it's Alan who looks like Ack.
Which is what it looks like me?
Here it comes, you're going to say R.
It doesn't look like me.
Lincoln's got the tall hat, so you remember.
Is his name actually Lincoln?
Lincoln.
Come on, say it. R.
No, his surname's Fessenden.
What? It's Fessenden. Say R.
His name's Lincoln Abraham.
Come on, say R.
Link on.
R.
The link on to Linux.
Anyway, again, we're Lug Radio.
We're Lug Radio over in the UK.
Give me an R.
Arr. Come on to our website.
We're British as well. We drink.
Here it comes.
We like drinking.
There it is. Arr. We like drinking too.
Arr.
Yar.
Arr.
So anyway, we're going to Lug Radio now because we've only been given about 30 seconds. Come and listen to Lug Radio. Lugradio.org. I'm sure you'll like. If you like the Linux link tech link show, I'm sure you'll like Lug Radio.
See, now, did you hear that on their promo? They keep saying that they only given us about 30 seconds. Well, I just want you to know that their promo is a minute 12. So there.
Which is perfectly okay.
That's perfectly fine. I mean, it sucks up time on our show, but really, you know, we're just fumbling anyway, so what the hell? Arr.
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 That's funny. I did. The reason that I played that again, well, you know, other than the fact that I like their radio show. The reason that I do have my top hat on, Patrick. The reason that I played that is just to remind you all to, you know, to keep checking out the Linux Link stream, the stream on the LinuxLink.net. That plays, of course, the Tech Show, and it plays Lug Radio, and it plays Slug Radio, and all kinds of different music and stuff like that. So check it out, LinuxLink.net:8000 for the.
And if you have original music, send
that's
it
right,
to
for
us.
The stream, and send us your music, and
we'll put it on
your shows too. You know, we really would dig some people to do some open source radio. I mean, you know, if we three idiots can sit down in a chair and talk into a mic for a few minutes and just blab back and forth, you probably can too. So you know, record it off, and
it's only like a little 10-minute block of
yeah, right.
Or, you know, five
some little
of
commentary about something. I don't know. You know, if you want to do something like that and get it on the stream, by all means, whip it up, send it off to us, and we'll see what we can do. Get it right on there. Something interesting for the rest of the world to listen to, you know. Perhaps you have something to say that other people who enjoy listening to these types of shows would like to hear. Right?
True.
Yes. Maybe.
It's
not.
It's entirely possible. So anyway, I wanted to mention that, and also that brings to mind that we have been in discussion. It's kind of been a light discussion and banter back and forth lately about combining. Yes, combining the forums for the Tech Show, Lug Radio, and Slug Radio. And I, for one, think that that would be a cool idea. And I think that
a second?
Yeah, everybody else is in agreement.
I've heard.
So we're just kind of waiting to get it done. And I'm thinking that probably the guys from Lug Radio and Slug Radio are going to be listening to this. So, you know, give us a buzz and let us know what you think we ought to do, where it should be hosted, yada, yada, yada. The rest of you guys, keep tuned in and check out the information that should be available on the LinuxLink.net. And that should be able to point you to wherever the stuff happens to end up and all of that fun stuff. And I'm just, you know, I'm excited to see it happen, and maybe that'll liven up the forums a little bit and get us all some different participation and that sort of thing. Should be pretty cool. Other than that...
New friends, new fun.
Yeah. Oh, other than that, we are Skype. The app of the week kind of thing. That Patrick suggested. He listed a whole bunch of stuff, but he put Skype on there, and this is a really cool application. You must check it out. It's www.skype.com. And it is a voice over IP application that will run. It has Linux clients, two or three or four or five or something different Linux clients, RPMs and different package formats and, you know, static binaries and dynamic binaries and all kinds of stuff. Go check it out. It's really cool. We've been playing with it a little bit today. Dan and I back and forth. I haven't got a whole lot of really great use out of it yet, particularly between Dan and I. However, I did have a friend call him with a Windows version of Skype and talk to me through my computer, and he sounded just fine. So maybe we'll just have a little bit.
I got to fire that up on here now.
It's really cool. It really is. Check it out, and I believe if we can get that sort of thing working, that that would be a really awesome way for us to be able to take, you know, callers and stuff like that throughout the show. They could just pop in on us on Skype.
Should
by the way, our
be much easier because of the fact we're already plugged into the mixer.
Right, exactly. Our Skype address is the Linux Link Tech Show, right, Dan?
So yep.
The Linux Link, the whole, all together, all one word, the Linux Link Tech Show. No spaces in between there, you know.
But this is not working yet, so don't call it yet.
The whole thing, yeah, but it doesn't, yeah, we don't have it up right now, so don't bother. Maybe later on, though, you know. And I might have mine up later on, too, to test it out. Mine's L. Fessenden, L-F-E-S-S-E-N-D-E-N. For you British people, it's Fessenden. Fessenden. Fessenden is an English last name.
Is that spelled with a P-H, right?
No, it's spelled with an F. F-E-S-S-E-N-D-E-N. Rules of English dictate that two S's sound like a D. A D. A Z. A little too much Mountain Dew for me tonight there, folks. Fessenden. That's right.
Fessenden.
L, F-E-S-S-E-N-D-E-N. Or get Dan and harass the hell out of him, because he's going to be playing with Skype, and the address is the Linux Link Tech Show. All one word. Ha-ha.
And eventually I'll be on, but not right now.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because I don't have it installed yet.
And when you're looking for Alan, just, you know, go on there and look for Alan's privates.
Alan's what?
Alan's privates.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Nobody wants to be looking for that, trust me.
I was going to make a comment that that would have been a really small address, but nah, forget it. It was funny in my head, but it just lost something in the translation. Never mind. All right. What else did I do? Oh, I got this cool little piece of hardware the other day. Our buddy Rick from the Lug. Our buddy Rick from the Lug was selling some stuff.
Whose face is that?
Whose face
That's
is
my hot link.
You can't see it from here.
You can't see it.
It's funny. Dan's like messing with his dead. What is the app called again?
Hot Babe.
Hot Babe.
Wait.
It's messing with Hot Babe. Put my face on it or something.
So I could watch Link get undressed.
That's funny. Hey, my breasts are bigger than hers.
How you did that, Dan.
What?
You'll have to explain how you did that.
Is it just a bitmap or something like that you stuck on there?
I gimped.
Oh, you gimped it on? That's funny. Anyway, Rick was selling some cool stuff the other day, and I grabbed a hold of him. He was selling a mini disc recorder. And I have been looking, like, for the longest time for something that I could do interviews on. And I heard that, you know, the guys over at Lug Radio, they keep saying that they were, you know, they went out and did their live interview kind of thing on the street interviews, and they used a mini disc recorder. So when I heard this, I was like, you know, that sounds like a really cool thing, because let's face it, cassette tapes suck and I don't want to use them. And it's kind of, you know, my microphone input on my laptop doesn't work very well. Plus, it's really kind of odd to whip a laptop out on somebody and say, can I interview you?
Start talking.
Yeah. So I've been looking for something small, and I have one of those memory recorders, you know, the little voice recorder.
Oh, the ones you do like a couple minutes on.
Yeah, you know, like it's just a 1 or 2 minute kind of thing. Anyway, the voice quality on there, they just really stink. It would probably be all right if you were taking dictation just for something, for notes or something, but you know, something for an interview, nah. Anyway, Rick was selling this thing, and I jumped right on and grabbed it. And these things are really cool. And, you know, leave it up to me to actually catch up with the technology of the 90s, right? Finally. So I have this. That's what I've been doing, you know, for for the last couple of days of my vacation was playing with this mini disc recorder, and I, you know, record some files from here and record some files from there. And I had the hardest time trying to figure out what kind of microphone that I could actually use with this thing. Because evidently, you have to either have a powered microphone, like one way or the other. One, either it's powered by the system or it's externally powered kind of thing. And it says you need a stereo microphone, too. However, the microphone that I bought was a powered a Radio Shack powered clip-on, like a Tie mic. It's self-powered kind of thing. Has a little preamp type of deal with it. And that seems to work. However, you only get one channel because it's a mono mic, right?
Yeah.
But the other thing that worked on it was, like, my little earbud. These 95-cent earbuds that I bought just to try on it for, you know, giggles, I guess. I plug those into the mic port, and they work, too. Obviously, you have to be a whole lot closer to use those for a microphone.
It's got
to
be on top of them, I think.
You pretty much have to have them in your mouth like marbles or something. But it does work, and that's really cool. And if I can, you know, continue to figure out the rest of the problems that I'm having, hopefully we can do some on-the-spot sort of interviews. And I know that Alan has a mini-disc recorder, too, so...
Yeah, I've had one
him
for
to get his stuff going.
3 or 4 years, at least. I love those little things. I actually almost went as far as actually putting it in the car. Sony was selling a unit a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually a mini disc player for the N-dash, N-dash in the car. So that was really neat. A friend of mine uses it to record shows with. It's actually a little preamp unit and these really, really tiny microphones that you can
But he's plugging it into, like, the line in, though, right?
He's going into the line in.
Okay.
Which automatically does the volume control for you at that point, everything. And, you know, you've heard some of the shows that we recorded. And for the most part, they come out really good.
Oh, yeah. And see, now that's one thing that I have not tried out yet that I need to try out is the little Radio Shack microphone that I have, the powered one.
Yeah.
I need to try that under the line in because I suspect that there's something a little wrong or broken with the actual microphone port.
Okay.
Because you can record for like a minute, maybe, and then it starts cutting in and out. You know what I mean? The recording cuts in and out. And it's the strangest thing because, like, when you're recording, you can actually listen through the headphones and hear what you're recording. And the recording will sound fine that way. But when you play it back on the disc, you'll get intermittent cutout kind of things, and I'm not entirely sure what that is, if it's just something with the mic port, or for all I know, it could have been a couple of bad mini discs that I tried.
That's always possible.
But like I recorded another mini disc, and you listened to part of it tonight, I recorded another mini disc with the line in thing, and that was fine. So who knows, you know, but I'm going to keep trying, you know, poke little things here and there, and I'm going to try that mic on the actual line in port and see if that does any better. And then again, maybe I'll try it on the mic port and just put a brand new mini disc in and see if that works too. But sure, it is cool, and it's going to give us another avenue to get some, you know, content and stuff on the show, which will be neat as well.
So if you know anybody who wants to be interviewed, let us know.
Yeah. Dan is like really quiet tonight. What are you doing, man?
I'm going to put out the Alpha 2 version of this in just a minute, and you're going to love it. This is perfect. I'm sorry. But I am listening to
everything. He's having, like, way too much fun over here.
Everything you are talking
about. He's picking on me. You know?
He's picking on you.
He's picking on me, which is not cool, man. I come in here, and I'm, like, you know, doing the show, and Dan's over there doing his
Dan's freaking compile something
every damn time.
Well, he just compiles.
This is like Show 40, a historic event, you know, just as much as Show 39 was. And he's over there pissing with stuff, picking on me. Dan, you're a pud.
Well, I got X-Men running over the weekend.
Yeah, what? X-Men. Oh, that's a great.
I love that. I hadn't used that in quite a while. I was just bored over the weekend and came across my disc.
And, of course, what you did was hunt around your house for your your arcade games.
For my arcade games, yes.
I
got, like, all 800 of them. Uh-huh.
And you picked through your collection of cabinets and things.
Yeah, and I only got the legal ones, yes.
Of course.
But it is fun. And the only one that I found that I'm missing, out of like all the ones I had, and I thought I had it at one time, is Asteroids. You know, the one that I wanted.
Oh, that sucks.
But I did get Mappy, which was a weird little game I used to like dump quarters in college.
Oh, cool. Have you tried Xstella yet?
Which one is it?
Xstella.
No.
Xstella is the Atari emulator.
Oh, okay, cool.
And that's cool because, you know, it just like the old Atari 2600 games and stuff.
Nice and blocky and...
Yeah, nice and blocky. But you know what? Those games were cool because they gave you something that the games today don't give you. And what that was is they required you to use your imagination.
Imagination, yes, yeah.
And
I was going to say that.
Yeah, once you immersed yourself in that kind of thing and used your own imagination, there's nothing that can equal that. Some of these ones are really cool, but...
Well, there we go.
But, you know, it's nothing like the
other games.
Down in
the corner here is a picture of Carrie and Edward's down here.
Dan's got his perverted screens here.
the funny thing is with the Atari games now, if you go to, like, a Walmart or Kmart or one of these, they sell just the joystick now, and it has, like, 20 of the Atari games inside of it already.
Cool.
Which I think is, like, $20. I have the Atari one. They have one for the... One of the Namco ones,
uh-huh.
Which, you know, like the Donkey Kong type ones.
Uh-huh.
So I want to pick that one up too, because that's another neat one. Because you just plug that right into the TV and go as well.
You know, it'd be awesome with those. I'm gonna have to get one now. You know what? Because I have this portable DVD player, and on this portable DVD player it has a composite input.
There you go. You're all ready to go.
So, like, I could just buy one of those joysticks and plug it into my little 7-inch LCD screen portable DVD player
and play Asteroids.
Just rock on and play Asteroids or, you know, Pac-Man or something. That would be really cool. I must do that now.
What are you waiting for?
I'm
you just found out about it.
I'm waiting for you to say something today sometime.
Say something inappropriate.
Well, that's a given.
Guess it's a given. That's not nice. Now my feelings is hurt.
Uh-huh.
So what are you compiling over there, Dan?
At least you're not on some cartoon girl whose breasts are smaller than yours are.
She got some big hoodies. I'm not compiling anything right now.
Yeah.
Somebody's upset.
Gimping stuff.
Gimping. The daughter's crying.
Uh-oh.
Somebody's unhappy.
There's problems in paradise.
You know it.
Problems in paradise. What else? What are you going to... Do you actually have something to talk about?
No, go ahead.
All right, well, I'll keep talking then. The other thing that I was going to talk... I can waste a whole hour's worth of time by myself tonight. The other thing I was going to talk about is my foray into Soiree.
I want to hear about this.
Today, I was looking around and I was reading the forums for the tech show, and I was reading Patrick's post about Skype, and I decided I would grab Skype, you know, and check that out, and because that just sounded too good to be true. I've been trying to get some kind of voice over IP software working on Linux for a long time now. Every time you try a different client, it bombs. So I grabbed the Skype client, and I downloaded it, and I checked to make sure that my QT was 3-2-something-something, which it was, so it was supposed to work. And I started the Skype client up and tried to connect the thing. The first thing it does is bomb out on me and tells me that it doesn't have access to DevDSP. Now, I had previously, like a week ago, reinstalled Slackware on my main workstation at work. I was running, like, Slackware 8 or 8.1 or something like that. Upgraded it to 9.1. This is like the day before they released 10, which pissed me off. So I upgraded it to 9.1. And over the course of that week, I had used Soiree, right? Downloaded Soiree, let Soiree go and do the update thing. You know, I love Soiree. It's a great program. Does the update. And every time it said, well, we have new this, do you want to? Oh, yeah, just install everything, right? So anyway, I get in today and I'm trying to use the Skype thing. It says, DevDSP is borked up. And I look at the permissions. Permissions are fine. then I start thinking to myself, you know what? I haven't heard my my AIM client or my game client bonging at me all day. So I check, and sure as hell, there's no sound drivers. There's no sound modules loaded, right?
Right.
So what the hell? And I go in, and I try and load the sound modules by hand. Nothing. I try ALSA Conf. Nothing. Tells me you can't find a thing. So I go into VAR modules and start poking around in there and notice that, like, all the ALSA sound modules are in the 2426 kernel, and I'm running, like, the 2422 kernel, and then it suddenly hit me that one of the upgrades I had done over the course of the week using Soiret was, it said it found all these new ALSA things, and do you want to install the new ALSA stuff? And I said, sure, you know, go ahead. And, yeah, that's what it was. It crapped out all my 2422 or 2424. Something like
modules.
That. Modules. Yeah, modules. Dumped them all out and put the 2.6 modules in there. So,
that's the bonus.
Yeah, it is in a way. Because so now I'm faced with a dilemma, right? Like, I don't normally go pissing around with my Linux kernels. Okay? Although Dan does it every day for something to do. Like, I don't normally do it because it gets complicated.
You only do it if you have to.
Yeah, it gets complicated. I don't want to go pissing around with the BZ image and all that. You know, I don't want to do that. NetBSD, that's a different story. They're really, really easy to do. Linux kernels can get hairy, and they keep changing, you know, they keep changing the way that you configure them and all that stuff, and it's a pain in the butt. So I don't generally go looking to do that if I don't have to. And I am faced with the dilemma now that either I have to figure out a way to get my old ALSA modules back, or I'll just upgrade the kernel. Well, why not just upgrade the kernel, right? And I figured, you know, I'm already stuck one way or the other because I really want to have sound. So either I go through the manual process of downloading the new kernel packages and unpacking them and pointing, you know, and moving everything around and pointing Lilo to the new stuff and the whole bit. Or I remembered that in the Soiret comp file, there's a couple of things that are commented out. There's the KDE stuff is commented out. This is a direction for Soiret not to upgrade this stuff. It says don't upgrade KDE stuff. It says don't upgrade Lilo. And it says don't upgrade Lilo and Soiret. And don't upgrade the kernel. So I figured, you know, at this point I got nothing to lose. What the hell? I go in there and I comment out the exclude the kernel and the exclude Lilo and Soiret thing. And I run the update and I run the upgrade. And I nervously sit there for 15 minutes while
waiting,
it's downloading. Yeah, it's downloading the new kernel and the new kernel headers and the new kernel sources. And then it has to unpack them all and put them away. Like, and the sources are huge, you know, it's like 37 megs or some crap. So I'm hanging out and just twiddling my thumbs and watching it go by going, you know, it's a really good thing I have my Nopix disk here so at least I can remount the root of the drive and get my files, like, when it doesn't work. And I figured, you know, what the hell? If it doesn't work, then I'll bring Slackware 10 in tomorrow and put Slackware 10 on, and then I won't have the problem with the kernel for a little while longer, right? So anyway, I told you this whole story to tell you this, that it actually worked. I was very, very impressed that I could use Soiret to actually upgrade the entire operating system, kernel and all, on a running system. It upgraded the kernel, reran Lilo, pointed everything to where it was supposed to be, rebooted it, put the modules in where they're supposed to be, rebooted the machine, came right up onto the new kernel with the new, you know, the new modules for ALSA, and then everything just, you know, started working from there. It was really cool, and I was absolutely impressed with that.
Easy.
That was just a piece of cake. There's still a couple of things I have yet to try with Soiret, and that's actually upgrading your entire system from one version to another. I understand it's possible. Like, I should, theoretically speaking, I should be able to take my laptop here, which is Slackware 9, and change the 9 to a 10 and run Swaret and, like, you know, pull all the exclude crap out and run Swaret and upgrade it, right?
Yeah, but you have to make sure that you get the kernel and Lilo. Well,
the kernel happened by itself on my 9.1 today. I upgraded the kernel with no problems.
Just make sure it's not commented out.
Right, you have to make sure it wasn't commented out, but...
Yeah.
Theoretically speaking,
there,
like,
you go.
It worked, you know. The only thing I can think of is, like, sometimes you have to do, like, the GCC version or something, right? But
yeah, just make sure. It should pull everything down unless you have it listed in your, what's it called?
Yeah, but, I mean, don't you have to upgrade GCC first before you go?
It should be listed in there. There's, like, certain packages that it'll install first.
Oh, okay, that doesn't first.
Just,
ah.
It's in the Swari.com file.
Cool.
Check this out. This is the alpha version, too. You'll like this. Ready?
I'm watching.
It even has your name on it.
Yeah. That's funny, man.
What more could you ask for?
Yeah.
That is open source, isn't it? I mean, it's under...
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's under the GPL. So I have nothing to worry about now. I could.
But I really got to try that. I got to try going from, like... upgrading my stuff from 9 to 10. That would be really cool on my laptop without
messing with anything. Yeah, I haven't done anything
with anything
to get to 10 yet. I'm waiting for you to do it.
You waiting for me to tell me anything? Lincoln, really screw his laptop up. I'm not doing it yet. But yeah, I was so impressed, though, that I went in there today and just, you know, I commented out those couple of exclude lines for the Lilo, Swaret, and the kernel and just did the regular... you know, update and then the upgrade, and it popped the 2.6 kernel right in. It was great, man. The 2.4, yeah, I think the 2.4.2.6 kernel is the one that I'm working on. Just,
I'll have to do a backup and give it a try.
Yeah, it just ran right now. I mean, I did no backups. I was like, you know, like I said, I figured if I screwed it up.
It's a good learning experience.
The very worst that could happen was I grabbed BitTorrent too, by the way, which is really cool. If you haven't done that, you should do it. I grabbed BitTorrent and downloaded the BitTorrent ISOs for Slackware 10 the other day before I left on vacation. And so I have the ISOs at home, and I figured I would just burn them off and bring them in tomorrow and, you know, do some kind of remarkable Linux. That's the cool thing about having Nopix, man. You just put the CD in, and I can grab my, you know, get my home directories and back them up real quick. And then I could install 10 and put stuff back on there. And
In your Swaret.com file, just... be aware that by default, I believe it is, kernel, Lilo, and Swaret are all excluded. Now,
right,
you were saying
right
about GCC. You don't have to worry about GCC as a priority because you're not compiling. You're installing the packages.
Okay.
But I think the one is glibc is the only one.
I know. When
one.
I went on the Swaret website, and it was... See, it doesn't give you, like, all the directions that you might need, but it gave you an example of upgrading your system from, like, 8.1 to 9.1 or something like that, and it said that you had to grab, there's a few packages that said to grab first and unpack, and one of those I think was GCC, and I'm not entirely sure why it said to do that. It was in the facts section, so I was wondering, you know, if that was something that I needed to follow that sort of routine to get from 9.0 to 10.0, or could I just go into the Swaret conf and get rid of the exclude files and just tell it to go. You know, it said that you got to set the root version number from 9.0 to 10.0, and then just let it go, which would be really cool, you know, because it have all my stuff, and it would just, you know, come back later, and it would be 10.0. That would be really great. But
what are you going to do?
I don't know. I don't know. I was hoping that you could give me more information on that, Dan.
On the Swaret?
You are the Swaret man.
The king of the Swaret.
That's right.
Well, see, that's the thing. I have mine set up for current, so I have the latest of everything, except
for
the
not
kernel.
When you have a current, it doesn't do the kernel, right?
Well, I don't want it to do the kernel.
Or can
I have
you
it
just...
It could do the kernel, but it could exclude it, because I compile my own kernel. So where their kernel would be 2.4... 2.6, is it?
Or something like
seven?
That, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm on 2.67, I think it is. So my kernel is ahead of the one that they would download, so I don't worry about, like, your issue with the Alpha
stuff.
So
then I should be able to do that too, right? I should be able to just, instead of setting it to 10, I could set it to current.
But if you do, if
and
you
pull
set
the
it,
exclude stuff out of the KDE and the other.
If you do set it to current, you're not getting, you're getting the developmental stuff,
right? Which still works.
It I haven't had a problem. I mean, there's an occasional problem. The worst problem I've had is when they upgrade X, and then stuff gets kind of funky till I realize, well, they upgrade X, I got to reinstall my NVIDIA drivers.
Uh-huh.
But that is usually, most of the time, it's not a problem. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, that would be a trick for me, too, because I'm running X386 on this, and 10 is running X.org, right?
Yeah. Well, is this, why would that be tricky?
Well, no, the X3, it doesn't uninstall the packages, does it? Or does it?
Yes, it does.
So I have to make a backup
remove,
of my X86.
I am not sure, because the way I did my X.org update is I manually grabbed the X.org files.
Okay.
Because it didn't, Swaret, I don't think, brought it down. Or I forget what was up with that. It'll install the stuff I have installed. So I brought it down, I manually removed my X3, and then I added the X.org stuff.
Okay.
So that's the only thing I did manually on that machine over there, aside from the kernel. Now, on the server side of things, I haven't done the Swaret to 10 yet, because I just was lazy. Another thing that gets kind of quirky, and this is what you have to be careful of, is anything that you've installed for Perl.
Okay.
Because sometimes it gets installed in the Perl directory, which is the version of Perl that you're running.
Right.
So when it ups a new version, all your stuff that you installed, like Spam Assassins, in the old version, it doesn't work anymore.
Nifty.
So you just got to reinstall that. That's a little gotcha to be aware of right there.
Nifty. Cool. You know what I could do? I should do this. It just is a test. Because I got this old beat-up laptop that I bought for my daughter. Actually, I bought it for me.
Put it on her.
I'm letting her use it, right? But she's on vacation. So, and I was going to, my intentions were to put 10 on that laptop anyway. But, like, she wanted to use it before, and I got a chance to put 10 on it. So it's got 9.1 on it. What I should do is go home and pop a real network card in that thing and get it on my network overnight. And change the Swaret to 10 on that and see what happens. Just let it run and grab everything and see if it'll upgrade it. That would be cool.
Now,
get away with it.
When you think about it, what is the worst that can happen? You can hose your system.
The worst that can happen is I have to hose it and reinstall.
But that's if you, even if your home directory is not on a separate partition, I mean, you just run the Slackware install, it'll just bring
just
down all those packages, and you can just fix it like that. I mean,
just tar it
you're
up
not
anyway.
Going to end up breaking your system to the point where you have to wipe everything out, including your files, and reinstall everything.
Well, no, that's not what I'm worried. What I'm worried about is, like, I use my laptop quite often, and what I'm worried about is, like, decommissioning my laptop for any length of time when I need to, like, carry it with me and go do something.
You don't want it down for a day or
anything
like that.
I mean, like, if I did one of these upgrades overnight and got up in the morning and it didn't work, like, I use it at work, so I wouldn't have time to reinstall anything on it, you know, for a little while, for some time. And I would be short a machine at work if I needed to use it there. So that's really the problem. And that's why I said, you know, maybe I'll do it on another laptop that I have, because no one's going to be using that for a couple of days. If it doesn't work, hey, big deal. I'll install, I'll burn my CDs, my ISOs off of Slackware 10 and slap it right back on when I get a minute. But I'm kind of real protective about my laptop, even though it's a Dell, which is just like Dan's Frankenstein laptop.
Except you
and
have
his
all the
is
keys.
Still going. Yeah, except for I got all my keys and you know, no crack in the screen. But
only
his is a testament
because
his is still running.
In case you lose a numlock. Yeah. we dug one of those up on the desk today.
Oh,
here.
Man. Keys from Frankenstein, like laying around the house. Hey guys, it's time.
It's that time.
It is that time. It is the end of show number 40. Party on, dude.
Oh, I got two copies of Hot Link running.
Awesome. one on one side, one on the other side kind of thing?
Yeah. That's so man. You like that. If you look really close, you can see Link is somebody. It's actually is Lena, L-I-N-A, Lina or whatever it is. Lina? But I colored out the part of the, using the GIMP's stamping tool, so I can take a little bit of the color part from one right next to it, and I can knock out the, to make the A into a C.
Ah.
There you go. Now you are immortalized there in free software once again.
Sicko.
All right, folks. That's the end of show 40. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. If you did or if you didn't, hey, come back and listen to show 41. I want to thank the 14 people that we had on IRC tonight. That's really cool. We're starting to amass a group.
And don't forget that the IRC is running all week long.
Right.
Ricardo has been keeping it up and going. He's always on there. A lot of people are getting off and on.
Yep. I've been on it quite a bit. Dan's actually been on it once or twice. Alan, you know, for his
brief.
Yeah,
I've been on it there.
His
you're
brief
not
20
on
or 30
it.
Seconds a day or something.
I see.
Like that.
Alan gets on. He's like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, then
I got to go.
Well, that happens if I'm at work and I'm on. Because every once in a while.
The boss looks over his shoulder.
Every once in a while, they do force me to work.
That's funny.
You know, we still have not gotten to software patents.
Perhaps it's a show for next time. But you have to not compile stuff because it's something that you want to talk about. So.
Yeah. But it's Patrick's fault for that hot babe.
Yeah, that's what it is. Something like that. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I'm Link.
Alan.
Dan.
Wake up, Dan.
Thanks for checking us out. Show number 40. Check us back out again. Show 41 next week. Same time, same station.
On the stream this week will be Slug Radio Episode 4, which just released yesterday.
Was it real? Oh, I haven't even been paying attention.
There you go.
Did you put it on already?
Well, it's going to go on tonight. I just downloaded it a little while ago. Okay. So it's going to go on tonight.
Monday, Lug Radio is new.
Right.
It's supposed to come out. I know it was supposed to come out on Monday last time, too, but it didn't come out till Wednesday.
Well, they had a fire or something. No, that was Slug Radio. Somebody's cooker exploded or something.
Lug Radio is just, you know.
I still haven't listened to episode 11 of Lug Radio yet.
Really?
Well, I had a whole week off last week, and I did absolutely nothing with regards to technology.
I don't know. All right, everybody. Have a good night. See you next time. Join us on the IRC anytime. We'll be on there on and off all week long until next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Link on Linux.
Why am I playing this?
Lug Radio over in the UK.
I must have hit the wrong thing. That's much better. You gotta have Dan's farts and burps in there. Not everybody.
Started the show with a fart, now we ended the show with a fart.
Fully Nooks Link Tech Show. Pulling a flink. Pulling a flink tech show.